Hey, welcome. I'm Chris Lopez, host of the Valley Pod, where we talk to all the interesting people of the San Luis Valley. Back in our studio on the south side of Hermosa is Larry Zaragoza, town manager of La Jara. Coach, it's good to see you again.
Good to see you, Chris, and thanks for the invite.
I call him Coach because he was a cross-country legendary running coach here in the San Luis Valley, Centauri High School. He was just telling us about starting Manassas Pioneer 5K run. We're going to get into that. Coached at Alamosa High School, had a big-time collegiate career. Larry Zaragoza, synonymous with running in the San Luis Valley, now synonymous as the town manager of La Jara. What's happening? What's new in La Jara, Coach?
Well, thank you for that intro, Chris. It's very humbling, but yeah, we got a lot going on in La Jara. I don't know where you'd like me to start, but
what's new? What's new that's policy or that town residents are learning about? What's new that people that go through La Jara should know about, recognize, see? Every once in a while, I see a new cafe. I saw a new one pop up recently. But we travel through La Jara as a valley community, right? We're going south 285, or we're coming north 285, or we're going to La Jara to visit. What are those things that you've been working on as the town manager that people will notice or that residents are starting to grasp or deal with?
Well, I'll share quite a bit with you this afternoon. First of all, when I took over as town manager March of 2020, start of the pandemic, I had noticed that we had some violations with our sewage lagoons. We have two, each of them about 5.7 acres, but we had sludge build up over 3 foot in a 5 foot pond, and we were definitely in violation of our discharge. And so that was my first project to take on, was to get rid of this violation. And there were no grants available for sludge removal. That's a maintenance thing. So we had to tie in some other small projects, but we ended up with an $850,000 grant from what they call State Relief Fund to take care of that project. That was completed towards the end of 2023. That is a big relief for our town. Otherwise, we were looking at $10,000 fine a day.
That's a situation that other small towns in the valley, Monte Vista is dealing with it now, Antonito dealt with it, you're dealt with it, you've got to move. But that's a thing a lot of communities are dealing with through the Colorado Department of Health and Environment. Yeah, I mean, that's a problem you got to deal with.
Exactly, and so is Fort Garland, to mention some of the other communities. Yeah. It's quite a task for a lot of these smaller communities.
How do you get town people to grasp that? Because I think that's one of the challenges as town manager, even for your mayor and your town council, is to get residents to see or understand or comprehend some of these problems or challenges that you have to fix that you can't let go because the state's not going to let you go further. We're going to keep finding you. You're running up a tab here. And I always find that I think that's one of the more difficult things for municipal officials to communicate that coherently for people in their town.
Well, we got a couple of methods that I've employed there, and one of them is open townhouse meetings to inform you about the challenges we have in regards to that sludge removal project where we're at. And the other way is with a newsletter that we came up with. I started that about 2.5-3 years ago, just to inform little messages to the community about what's going on. But you still have a lot of naysayers out there that don't really understand why our water and sewer rate is being raised, because we had to hit a certain threshold with our water and sewer bill to get that $850,000 grant/loan. But those are the two methods I've employed to reach out to residents, and very little response from the community. I don't think they understand that you can't just turn on your water or flush your toilet. There's more to it than that.
Yeah, there's a lot of nuts and bolts in municipal government.
Yeah. I'm finding out, but you know, I love it. I love the challenge. It's just, for me being a coach, yeah, tell me what has to be done and we'll get it done. Yeah. It may take a while, and I'm finding things don't happen overnight. They move very slow, even slower than a snail when you have projects or challenges you have to meet head on.
Yeah, you're learning. That done. You're learning there. What else you got, Coach?
Well, we had recently in April, we had elections for a new board. So we have two new town trustees, and we have a new, our mayor has been reelected for her second term.
Paula Medina.
Mm-hmm. Love working with that lady. Always communicating about things. Recently, too, the town has moved to a four-day work week, which I think makes a lot of difference in your morale with your employees. I know having some recent surgery, I arrange a lot of my dental work, doctor's visits on Fridays when I'm off. So we do 4-10s in the town, and we're closed Fridays. But we also went to a online payment, which helps, and we also have a Dropbox in town. So
making it more efficient than for people to interact with you. The four-day week, did you just start that this year, 2024?
We started November 2023.
So that's interesting to hear that and to see that trend, because, you know, Alamos obviously went to it a year or so ago, or just before you did. And we've been curious to see other local governments moving into that, which makes some sense when you think of the school districts all being on a four-day week. How have you, or what have you seen in alignment with a four-day school week and now a four-day municipal week? Is that helpful?
I think it's very helpful. We haven't received very many complaints about being closed on Friday. I know since we went to the four-day work week, I bet you there's been about five or six Fridays that I've had to go in, even on my day off, to put in some time, either a Zoom meeting, meet with the salesman, whatever. Just last Friday, I had to meet with a salesman from town here to come and look at some fire hydrants that need replacing. I don't mind working on the Friday, but it's really boosted our morale for the employees.
That's interesting.
In our town, and not much kickback, negative-wise, on the four-day work week. But, Chris, I'd like to share with you, too, some other grants we've received over this past, the last part of 2023 and so far into 2024. Recently, we received a grant, a congressional district, a direct spending grant through Senator Michael Bennett, $600,000 grant to upgrade and improve beyond the sludge removal project, some of the things that we need to take care of at the lagoons, our discharge disinfectant station, some screening into our lift station, just little things like that and projects like that, which...
For a town as small as La Jara, for the budget that you have annually, getting then a $600,000 grant through a congressional, through the U.S. Senate office, moving that money towards there, other grants that you're bringing, those things are really like multiply your budget. They give you a lot more power than you otherwise would have.
They sure do. Let me share with you quickly. So I was hired in April of 2020. Uh-huh. At that time, the general fund budget was right around
$60,000. $60,000?
That is barely enough to make payroll.
Wow.
That's what I inherited.
I would never have guessed that.
Well, it dropped even lower than that in months with the predecessor. No names. But right now, presently, we're sitting at about just short of $900,000 in our total budget. Uh-huh. General fund only, not our water and sewer fund. Some of that is the grant money. Some of that is raising our water and sewer bill. Still, that helps our town operate. I'm not into spending a lot as a town manager unless we absolutely have a need. And so I'm not into saving either.
It sounds like you've done a lot of work to move things forward that maybe weren't happening before in terms of the management administration of town hall there. That's just my takeaway listening to this.
I think you're exactly right. One of the things that I learned is we had no contingency fund for emergency. Nothing. Zero. So part of that budget, of course, is contingency is building up a little bit. It's been recommended that we put in at least $60,000 a year to our contingency fund. So, if we have unforeseeable emergency down the road where we have to match a grant for it, so to speak, or something like that, we do have that capital and that money ready to help us out.
What else you got, Coach? I mean, so far, everything you're delivering here, I'm like, Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, for a small days. Community. I mean,
yeah, no. And you can see, though, the work that you're getting done as the town manager. We've had you in here before when you first started. It seems to me like you have your feet now firmly planted as the town manager. Before, you were a little unsure what you were getting into, and you were learning as it was coming at you. Now it seems like you understand the role, the responsibility, and have a strategy that you're working through to make sure the town of La Jara stays as solid financially, which is the most important thing for municipal governments. How solid are you financially? It sounds like you're doing a lot of work in that space.
Well, it's not a one-man show, that's for sure. It's been a team, but yeah, being the spearhead of the whole thing and trying to get things proper and not overspend our money, but it's been a challenge, but we're getting there.
What else have you gotten done?
Well, we've recently applied with DOLA, to DOLA for a water master plan grant, and we did receive that, $60,000. So right now we have an engineer out of Utah who's working on that water master plan to help us upgrade our freshwater distribution. We, for example, not only supply water to the community, the residents, businesses in La Jara, but we supply water to the Conejos County Hospital, if it's still named that, the Rio Grande Nursing Home, the County Public Health Center. I found out through this basic start on this water master plan, we have a 6-inch line in town for our fresh water, but we only run an inch and a half out to them. Now, that's not good water pressure for fire suppression.
Right.
So little things like that, this water master plan is going to help us identify to upgrade our system. Recently, the town's been hit with the challenge of identifying service lines from our water lines, the town's water lines, to residents or businesses, lead and copper in there. And we sent out a survey just this last week to find out if the residents are willing to do the research themselves and find out, do you have lead in or in the solder, whatever, or your lines? I'm going to find that most of these pipes, service lines to these residents, especially the older homes, 1912, 1915, they're probably got a little bit of lead in copper in there. And so we'll find grants to help assist them to take care of their service lines somewhere down the line.
You know, one of the things I find interesting listening to you, and I'm reflecting on hearing from other town managers in really small towns around the valley, San Luis being another one. And that is these small communities in the valley are really working through how to modernize their ancient towns. I mean, people don't realize or remember sometimes how old the town of La Jara is, how old the town of San Luis is, and the little towns around you or the other. We don't sometimes recall how old they are. And now, 100 years in, you're having to deal with some of these challenges as places like the Department of Public Health and Environment in the state of Colorado require it for you to then be able to put something else in a new building or an abandoned build. You have to repair these infrastructure that you've inherited as these historic towns. That's an interesting dilemma and situation you guys find yourself in.
Well, you mentioned earlier, I've learned a lot. First of all, the town was established in 1902, so we do have a lot of older homes in the community. The other thing I've started recently is called a VAD registry. And what that is, vacant, abandoned, and dilapidated buildings. Let's start addressing these buildings. Recently here in Alamosa, you had that situation with the old Walsh Hotel. So learning from Heather Sanchez now, Heather Brooke Sanchez, your town administrator, city administrator, excuse me. The process they did took to get that accomplished. I'm using the same concept to challenge some of these homeowners of our vacant, abandoned, dilapidated buildings. Basically, it's going to be in a neighborly way, put pressure on these owners to do something with that property. Let's, if I can get a grant to help you upgrade the property and it becomes livable, then you have choices. You can rent it, sell it, or live in it yourself.
How much do you, and I don't know if you'll know this, how it just came to my mind thinking about this, how many properties, whether they're abandoned homes or existing homes, how much is the real estate owned by out-of-towners, people who don't live in La Jara, maybe were from there originally, they still own the property, they don't live there that now, though. How much? I don't know if you have a sense of that. That would be interesting to learn that for me to understand that, because I think you might, I mean, there are vacant landlords out there, right? I wonder about that with Lada.
Yeah, you hit the nail right on the head. So we have 14 abandoned properties in La Jara. I had to do that study to give to CHAFA, Colorado Housing Finance. And we also have about the same vacant properties, lots. So most of these 14, at least 99% of them, are residents out of town. They hang on to these old properties for sentimental reasons.
Or for tax purposes to get a tax break.
Exactly.
Right off the property.
So, you know, that's why I came up with this VAD registry. I don't want to take credit for it. It was first brought to my attention with the Del Norte town manager, and I thank her. They're still working on it. I saw the draft. I'm putting together with our board our own registry to start putting some pressure on these property owners to step up to the plate. Let's do something about this property, because you either have squatters taking over. It's a health hazard. You have an infestation of whatever, rats, cats, whatever. It's a fire hazard, a health hazard. Brings down property value for neighboring residents. And so that's one of my focuses too. But
You're doing a lot of work in there. It's really interesting to hear that. We're going to take a quick break. We're with Larry Zaragoza, the town manager in La Jara. We'll be right back. This is the Valley Pod.
Our friends at Ulta Convenience are offering customers a way to earn points and save, like save 3 cents per gallon of gas purchased. You can take advantage of special offers, like purchase 6 fountain drinks and receive one free, or purchase 9 Ulta premium burritos and get one free. Stop in at any participating Conoco-branded Ulta Convenience kickback store to pick up your free kickback card and start earning points today. Points can be spent just like cash at Ulta, so the more points you earn, the more perks you can enjoy. Redeem points at the pump or in store for snacks and merchandise.
Hey, we're back. We're talking to Larry Zaragoza. He's the town manager. La Jara is explaining all the different work that goes into running even a small town like La Jara. Keep going, Coach. Tell us some more about what's new there, other things you've been tackling, because your list is pretty impressive.
Well, I've been talking mostly about some grants. I do want to share that I'm a part of, the town of La Jara is a part of what we call the Western San Luis Valley Roadmap Team. This was established just shortly after I became town manager. So 3.5 years ago, it involves the communities of Center, Sawatch, Del Norte, and La Jara. Very fortunate, I think, that the town of La Jara got asked to be a part of this team. Our team leader was Brian Lujan, former town manager of Center. But recently, we received a $10,000 DOLA grant to help out mom and pop's businesses. So each community received $10,000. We made applications. We did different things with. I had 4 businesses receive anywhere from $2,000 to $3,000, and to help them get started. Maybe bring in another employee, but keep their business moving forward. It's been a challenge for many, as we know, after the COVID. But that was a real blessing for our small businesses. We just tied that up with DOLA. That's all completed. Our team leader now is the interim, Keith Brockhurst out of Center. He'll be there till the end of July, I think, and then he's moving on. But he just sent down the final report and sent it to us, others that are involved. But, yeah, that was a big help to these small communities. Any kind of a grant to help small businesses, the mom and pops, do whatever, but purchase equipment, supplies, whatever they need, but also to look down the road at maybe hiring an additional employee or more.
Yeah, yeah. Anything will help those small businesses like that, as you mentioned.
I don't know if we were on air when we talked about the restaurants that we have in town. We have 2 that recently opened up, El Vallecito on Main Street. Very good Mexican food. Outstanding. And then Mom and Pop's, traditional, just real solid food. Good variety to have those 2 in town now.
Owen and I are going to have to take a road trip and go try them out. We do like to take road trips to try restaurants in all the different towns. So now that you mentioned them, we'll have to do that own coming up here.
Yeah, both are excellent restaurants in our community, and I try to get out and, you know, frequent them as often as I can.
Yeah. One of the big events you have coming up this summer that I want to talk a little bit about, and that's your Glory Day celebration, which you do July 27th this year, 2024, July 27th, Glory Days. But you have a new twist to it, maybe, in how you're trying to get more floats participating in that particular celebration, summer celebration, Glory Days. Tell us about Glory Days, and will you ever get Bruce Springsteen to appear at it to sing Glory Days? Now that
that would be awesome, wouldn't it? But we're going to bring John Denver into it this summer. I don't know.
You got look-alike or a John Denver impersonator coming in?
Yep. All right. We'll share that with you here in just a second. But yeah, as you mentioned, Glory Days, July 27th. Last year, towards the end of the year, we had an anonymous donor contribute about $6,000 to the Glory Days committee, earmarked specifically for awards for parade entries. So floats were trying to entice some of those from the Manassas Pioneer Days to come down. We've been marketing in the community, businesses, organizations, build a float, come on in. $1,000 first prize in three different categories, $2,500 second prize, $500 for third. That leaves us about $600 left to throw in the big kitty somewhere. But
so you're giving prize money for the best floats this year at Glory Days in Lajada.
Yeah, marching bands as well.
So you're going because Manassas Pioneer Days, which is the weekend before this year, July 20th, that's Saturday, July 19th to Friday, July 20th, Saturday, Manassas Pioneer Days, just south of where you are, and it's huge, as you know. It's huge, Manassas Pioneer Days. And now comes Glory Days in Lajada, the week next, the 27th. You're trying to up the game on Manassas.
I don't know so much up the game, but invite them.
Uh-huh.
Because they have tremendous floats over there in that community.
They do.
People really go all out to build some fantastic floats. You've seen them, I've seen them. So hopefully we'll get some of them entered into our parade. The reason that this anonymous donor gave us some money, he just wanted to sit there longer than 10 minutes to watch our parade.
And, that's awesome.
You know, so very fortunate to have it now. It's not a guarantee every year.
Right.
And so we still have to rely on our businesses for whatever they can donate to keep it going. But
so we're going to have to really pump up the Glory Days to get the floats and the bands in, because it's worthwhile with the prize money that you're dangling. I'm going to have to show up on the 27th and watch that parade come down. I'll be honest with you, I have not done that before.
Well, I'm going to try to take a trip over to Monta Vista and meet their new band director to see if we can get them to come over,
nice.
Or any band.
You're working all the angles, Coach.
Trying to. It's just nice to be a Valley resident and hang out and have different contacts in different communities and help everywhere, anywhere you can. So,
yeah.
I've shared with you the two new restaurants. One of the things I started when I... it was towards the beginning of last year, was what they call the Care and Share mobile market.
Yeah.
And so that concept is totally different than what you would think Care and Share is. The truck pulls up, they lift up their gates, and we get volunteers from the community to help fill the bins. And the people just line up, give your information to the person driving the truck, and then just go pick your groceries out, what you want.
And that's part of the Care and Share Food Network that's located here in the Valley, right?
Yes, it is.
I heard about that. I went to their annual, I think you were there at their annual fundraiser recently, a couple of weeks back, and they were talking about launching this type of program in the Valley like that.
This is our, we've started a year ago. Yeah, so it's a year and a half now.
Yeah.
And just email this morning I received from the Care and Share people that there will be July, August, September. It comes down once a month, typically the second Thursday of every month. The summer months we go early in the day, 10 to 11. The winter months we go 2 to 3, where it's a little warmer. And, you know, we've even had that mobile market in some of the very challenging weather, wind blowing, snow flying. But people show up because – we understand, you know, if they're going to make any sacrifices on their monthly budget, it's going to be groceries.
Yeah, that mobile care and share truck is really makes a difference. That sounds like a smart program.
We had the biggest turnout that we've ever had in several months. We've been doing it last month.
Yeah.
And fortunately, we had some big shots there doing some videotaping, interviewing of the people in line, myself and some of the others, the volunteers. It's a good community event for our little community. But those are some of the things that I've tried to do. Just in this business, every 20 minutes, you have a challenge or something comes up. And so I can't relax too much. Weekly, I go get my shoulders stretched out again to the chiropractor. So,
again, it sounds like it really does sound like you're doing a lot of work there in La Jara as the town manager. You're moving the needle in a lot of areas. We really appreciate getting an update on all that. I mean, when I think back through the list you took us through, there's a lot there. There's a lot there that you've gotten done. And moving to that 4-day school week or 4-day work week, does that give you another day potentially for fishing?
Yes, it does. That's one of the benefits. You know, I said earlier it's a morale booster. Not every Friday can I go, but this summer it's here. As we mentioned earlier, rivers will be clearing up. I'll be out there with a fly rod somewhere.
Yeah,
and try to do it on Friday without my dogs because they're a nuisance when I go fly fishing. But, Saturday, then I'll take the dog somewhere and be back at it fishing somewhere.
Well, we will definitely see you on July 27th for Glory Days in La Jara. We want to see the parade. We want to participate in that. We'll help put that out there, and we'll see you then. We appreciate you coming by and spending some time with us this afternoon, Coach. It's been good to see you.
Good to see you, and thanks again for this opportunity, Chris.
Hey, you've been listening to the Valley Pod and our episode with La Jara Town Manager Larry Zaragoza. The Valley Pod is produced by Owen Woods and is part of the AlamosaCitizen.com podcast lineup. See you around the Valley.
Hi, I'm Marty Jones, host of the Outdoor Citizen podcast. Join us every other Wednesday as we talk to outdoor enthusiasts, wildlife experts, recreationists, lovers of the outdoors, and people who spend their days and their lives outside. On The Outdoor Citizen, we talk all things outside and outdoors, provide you with the latest data and measurements for water and weather, give you upcoming outdoor events, and keep you up to date on the latest news. The Outdoor Citizen is brought to you by the AlamosaCitizen.com podcast lineup. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, enjoy the out of doors.